This evening, I'd like to direct your attention to Luke chapter 15. And in that chapter, Jesus gave what we call the parable of the prodigal son. The word prodigal means wasteful. And of course, we see from reading the parable that when he went into the far country, that there he wasted his substance. And so we call him the prodigal son. Most people know the story. It tells of a life that was almost lost. And we think of young people today who are venturing out from their homes, leaving their parents, and going far afield, and many of them ill prepared for the temptations and the perils that await them. And here was a young man who thought that he knew what he was going to do, and he thought he knew how to do it, and it turned into a great disaster. But the story also reveals to us how much God wants the sinner back. It started, that is, this parable started, I believe, because Jesus was criticized in the early part of the chapter for associating with sinners. And you can imagine some of these self-righteous scribes and Pharisees talking among themselves and saying, "What is he doing over there talking to those sinful people? What's this all about that he would associate with them?" And of course, Jesus in another place said, "The Son of Man came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That's almost an ironic thing, because where were the righteous? Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Everyone is called to repentance. We need to understand this parable because it helps us to understand God's great love and the urgency of seeking the lost. We need to have the attitude that God has about lost people. We see in this chapter, if we look it over, there are a number of parables. And of course, one of them is the parable of the lost sheep. Just one of them. But it wandered off into the wilderness and it was lost and it didn't know how to get back to the flock. It had to just wait out there until the shepherd found it. And then we see the parable of the lost coin. A woman had 10 coins and she lost one of them. And she searched and swept her house until she found it. The coin was lost and it didn't know it was lost. And then, of course, there's the parable of the prodigal son. The young man was lost, and eventually he knew it was lost, and he knew what to do. So consider this lost soul. He went into a far country, and verses 11 through 13 of Luke 15 begin this way. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." How typical oftentimes of younger people, and sometimes older ones as well, to waste their resources, thinking that somehow there's going to be something that'll happen, something will provide, and they end up in trouble. But the loss here is twofold. He lost his family because he went away from them. He had been used to their support, no doubt, and their encouragement, and sometimes maybe their admonitions. And now he's in a far country, and there's no one to encourage him. There's no one to remind him of his duty. Well, likewise with man. Man departs from God when he sins. And it grieves God. But we know that, of course, God had a plan to redeem sinners, and that was to send his son, Jesus Christ. And we see that golden text of the Bible, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So he lost his family. He lost his father because he went away. But also, when man sins, he loses God. because he departs from God, and as I mentioned earlier, he becomes estranged from God. Isaiah chapter 59, 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you." So the father lost his son, and the son lost his father. The son was lost through self-will. Again, we see that he goes to his father, and he says, "Give me my portion of the inheritance." Now, he's the younger son. And if you look in the Old Testament, you'll find the direction there on dividing up an inheritance. There are two sons, and so the directions would be to divide the property into three pieces, and the older son gets two, and the younger son gets one. So he took a third portion of the father's estate and went into this country and there wasted it. It must have been a pretty big party that he went to, or that he threw, to be able to go through that much. But nevertheless, it was through self-will. And in fact, James tells us in chapter 1, beginning at verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death." It's self-will that often leads people into sin. Sometimes it's by inadvertence. Sometimes it's by ignorance. Sometimes it might even be as a result of passion. But almost invariably, somewhere along the line is the decision, "I'm going to do it." And that's self-will. So this young man is now in a far country. He is spending money. Hasn't given a thought, probably, to his family back home and what they're thinking, or if they're worried about him. But now we see in the next portion of the parable that things turn darker, beginning at verse 14. "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." So all the money's gone. And sometimes, like storms, one follows another. The money was all gone, and then a famine arises. And so when the famine arises, the economy goes down. There aren't many jobs. If it's a famine, there's a reason. There might be, maybe hasn't been any rain, whatever the reason. There aren't many resources to draw on, and the young man is getting hungry. He doesn't have any money to pay for shelter. And finally, he finds himself going to somebody and being hired to feed swine. Now imagine if this is a Jewish young man, and in the context, I would suppose he was in Jesus' parable, he's feeding something that's unclean. Jews wouldn't have anything to do with feeding swine. And there he is giving food to pigs, and he sees that food and he thinks, "Pigs at least have plenty to eat." And so no man gave to him. Nobody came along and said, "Here's a case for charity, and we're going to see that you have a place to stay, and we're going to get you food, and you won't have to be here in this pig pen." No, it seemed like things were going to go this way for quite some time. You're going to be here, and you're going to be hungry, and you're going to be able to have to sleep wherever you can find some hay, and things are so uncomfortable. Famine always follows a life of sin. There's a famine, you might say, of sensibleness, because when people get involved in sinful behavior, they begin thinking differently, and they begin thinking illogically. This son, of course, was reaping the consequences of his behavior. And this is a difficult lesson for many people to learn, that what you do has consequences. In fact, sometimes we refer to this as the law of the farm. You reap what you sow. If you sow carrots, you will not reap asparagus. You'll get carrots. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." We reap what we sow. If we sow violence, if we sow hatred, if we sow immorality, that's what we're going to get back, and get back sometimes in spades. And so this sin that this young man had gotten into, the riotous living, and who knows what that involved, it robbed him of many things. First of all, his dignity. Back home, probably the servants might have called him sir, but now he's a servant, and the only people to talk to are the hogs. It robbed him of his self-respect. It stinks where he works now, and he's dirty, and he's hungry, and he doesn't have anything to commend himself to anybody. Who are you? I feed pigs for so-and-so. Oh, well, get away from me. It robbed him of his good name. It robbed him of his purity. It robbed him of a good conscience because, again, he's been involved in riotous living. And it robbed him of a happy home. He may have hoped that he was going to find help in the far country, but it says there that no man gave unto him. You know, the sinful world has no help for sinners because they're sinners too. And sinners can't help sinners because they don't turn to the gospel. Only God can help us. We see in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Pretty dark picture thus far. But we see, thank God, that sometimes people, you might say, wake up. They come to themselves. In fact, that's just what it says there in Luke chapter 15, verse 17. "And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." The illusion went away. He had thought that he was going to have a wonderful time spending dad's money. But he'd spent it and it was gone. And suddenly his world turned upside down. He says, "I perish with hunger." Possibly he's been losing weight ever since things went bad. He says, "I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back to my father because the servants there have more food than they can eat. And here I am starving." And so he makes up this little speech that he's going to give to his father. "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." It's interesting that when you get to the next part of the parable, when he does meet his father, and we see that when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He never got to give that speech. Oh, he started it, but the father said, "I don't want to hear that. Bring forth a robe, bring forth sandals, bring forth a ring, kill the fatted calf." You see, the father knew what was important. It wasn't a speech. It wasn't so much what had happened, but the fact that the son had returned. No one will ever repent until they come to themselves. And that's the first thing that has to happen, is that we have to get our mind right. And reflection, self-reflection, of course, is a needed part. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate? We must be willing to honestly look at ourselves. That's what this man did when he came to himself. He saw what he had done, where he was, but he also saw where he needed to go. James tells us in chapter 1, verse 22 and following, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." James says you can't just talk the talk, you've got to walk the walk. And now he remembered. He remembered what he had left. And he admitted his sin. And he realized his unworthiness, but he took action. Sometimes people stop just before that step. They know they've done wrong, they feel guilty, but they never take action. And so this tells us that we can come back to God. And so consider the great joy of his restoration, beginning at verse 20. "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." This is one of those stories, and it's a parable that has a happy ending. Everyone can have that happy ending if they will be like this son and come to themselves and realize their great need and see where the solution is, and that is with God, with Christ. So notice the father, and he ran to meet his son. He didn't wait till the son came and be kind of aloof and wait for an apology. He ran to him. God's part in our salvation is enormous. You think of our part, that we believe in Christ, repent of our sins, confess our faith, are buried with him in baptism, and then live faithfully as a Christian, whether long or short. But God's part is, it's just enormous. He planned all the way from the beginning of the creation and set various things in motion and finally sent his own son to come and to preach and then to suffer and to die. And we will never be able to come close to even comparing what we have done as far as our service to God compared to what Christ did and what the Father did and what the Holy Spirit has provided in their service toward us to make salvation possible. This father welcomed the son back. Now, the son didn't bring back with him all the money he took. That was gone. But that didn't make any difference to the father, because the father's interested in the son. He said he was dead, but now he's alive. He's back from the dead. You know, God is full of compassion. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." God forgives when we repent and pray. And the slate is wiped clean. And we're not put on probation, but rather we are placed where we were when we left. God seeks and receives sinners. We have a song, "Christ receiveth sinful men." But he receives them when they believe in him and repent of their sins. Man is responsible for his lost condition, just like that young man was responsible for ending up in the pig pen. And we need to remember that there are many pig pens in this life, and that we need to stay away from them. but rather we need to value our spiritual home with God and never let anything jeopardize that. This evening, I hope we appreciate more the parable of the prodigal son. And, of course, we always extend the invitation, and that is to believe in Christ, repent of sin, confess your faith, and be buried with him in baptism. As a Christian, if you've been unfaithful, maybe you're like that prodigal son. You need to come to yourself. You need to realize where you are. And if you're unfaithful, that means you're lost. And then return to God in repentance and prayer. Our song of encouragement for you as we stand and as we sing.